Welcome to Threshold Church.
It's been a while since I've been up here, so if I don't know you, I'm Anna Kale, and I would love to meet you at some point. I have a three-year-old who's pretty strong and independent, so I spend a lot of time keeping her in one place, so I feel like that's what I do. So I'm a mom. I've got two other great kids as well. But so good to have y'all here tonight, and I'm really excited about what the Lord has for us. This is not a Mother's Day message. So mamas, I promise this is for you, but women and men, this is for you too. So just prepare your heart to receive. Please don't, opt out because it's a mom preaching on Mother's Day. I just want to encourage you. The Lord has something for you tonight. And this is a message he put on my heart a couple months ago that has been a very interesting journey for me because I feel like I am like right smack in the middle of it. And so I'm preaching from a pretty raw place right now. And I can just tell you, even this weekend, it's just like gone deeper and it's been raw. So if I cry, that's just there. I have no apologies, but just to let y'all know, like, I'm preaching to you as a sister in the Lord who is right on this journey with you and just bringing you into something that I think the Lord has for us. So before we go any further, I just want to pray and just ask the Lord to just give me his words because I just simply want to be a mouthpiece and a vessel for him to just have his way in this time. And so, Lord, we just come into your presence afresh right now. God, I thank you that you are already here. Lord, I thank you for just the opportunity we had to worship you together. Lord, to come together into your presence and worship. God, and just in prayer and just taking time to just fix our eyes on you. Lord, I thank you. And God, I thank you that you are still here and still moving. And God, that you have a desire for this time. And so, Lord, we just welcome you to be poured out afresh in this moment. Lord, I yield myself to you. God, I give you full access. God, I ask that you would give me your words and your heart. God, give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what you have for us tonight. And Lord, would you just bless the kiddos, bless all of the volunteers that are teaching and leading our kiddos. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name. Yeah, the toddler class has got two guys teaching in there, y'all. It's awesome. It's awesome. We've got some amazing men in this house, too. It's really wonderful. All right, so what I feel called to encourage us in today comes from Luke 5, 37 through 39. So this is the message. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. So we're just going to dive into this. Guys, I feel like we read this passage, it's in a couple of the Gospels, right? And we think of this as the wineskin being the church. And I believe that's true. I believe that is what it's talking about. But a couple months ago, I was just chewing on this, and I felt like the Lord really just dropped in my spirit, the wineskin's not just the church. You are the wineskin as well. We as individuals are also the wineskin that is waiting for the new wine to be poured out. And I think it can be easy for us to go, okay, well, as a church, we're pressing in for more of the Lord and we're waiting for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we're trying to be the new wineskin. We're trying not to be caught up in what's old. We're trying to just be available to the Lord in the new way so that he can entrust us with the new wine. And that's all true. But sometimes when we're in a corporate place, it can cause us to neglect our individual responsibility. And it's both and. We as individuals are responsible to be the new wineskin for the Lord to be pouring out the new wine into. And then corporately, we're responsible to be the new wineskin because there is a new wine that the Lord wants to pour out. And I think the application of this is pretty broad. And so I would say probably what I'm going to share with you, chew on and let the Lord continue to bring revelation. I'm not going to share everything tonight, okay, because there's a lot here. But I believe that there is just a call for us to be reminded that we have a responsibility to be moving towards an understanding of what does it mean to be a new wineskin? What does it mean to leave behind the old and be moving towards the new? As new wineskins, that makes us vessels that can carry the new wine without bursting, without contaminating it, without polluting it, or without wasting it. That's really important. You know, we should all want the new wine. We should all want a fresh outpouring of the Lord's Spirit. But we need to be prepared to be able to steward it well, right? And it says, you know, if the new wine is poured into an old wineskin, they'll both be ruined, okay? And that would just be such a shame, right? New wine is being poured out for the sake of the kingdom. And I believe that starts with the individuals and then the families and then the homes and then society, right? The kingdom starts in a small micro place and expands out from there. And so we need this new wine. This is important. This is critical for every one of us. Wherever we find ourselves in our life, this is critical. None of us will be left out, and none of us are exempt. I believe new wine is like fresh manna. You know, in the Old Testament, when the Israelites were living on manna, you know, they weren't allowed to gather it for a couple of days. They had to gather it for one day. Because if they gathered it too much, like, it would rot. Like, the Lord was like, no, I will sustain you day by day. Yesterday's manna could not feed them today, right? And while we can be so thankful for all that we've received from the Lord and the work he's done in us, yesterday's wine is not going to be good for today. We've got to keep pressing in for the new. We've got to keep pressing in for more, okay? And so it's that forward motion that we've got to stay focused on. My study Bible, the note on this passage, which, again, this is applying it to a corporate outpouring, but I want you to hear this and apply it to yourself as an individual. It's just kind of clarifying what it's talking about here. It says, it's avoid imposing past traditional structures on present renewals. Understand that yesterday's structures and forms are often incapable of handling today's dynamic of spiritual renewal. And so who you were 10 years ago is awesome. And the Lord did things in your life 10 years ago, right? And 5 years ago, 3 years ago, 1 year ago. But you're not that same person anymore. You shouldn't be, right? We should always be growing and moving forward. And so we need to become what the new can fill. Okay, does this encourage y'all and make you excited to move forward? The prospect of what the Lord has for us as we are just faithful to follow him. So I want to talk for a little bit about what I think is like the core of this. I'm going to unpack this a little bit, but start off, okay, with the wineskin as like an external, like it's like the carrier, right? I believe what's the exterior of us is a reflection of our heart. Right? Everything that comes out of us is a reflection of our heart. And I think that we diminish this because it's not visible to everyone. I think that we can minimize this because we can fake it. We can just get around in a lot of ways and avoid the heart work, because the heart work is the hard work. Right? That's the deep work. And so I just want to encourage you with a couple of passages that talk about the heart, because I believe for us to have a new wineskin, it will start from the heart and it will happen in the heart, and then the trickle effect will go out to affect every part of our being. Okay, Proverbs 4:23. Keep your heart with all vigilance, for from it flow the springs of life. Your heart is where everything originates from, guys. Right? That's why this is why this matters. Okay? And this is why when there's good fruit or bad fruit, they all track back to our heart and what's happening there. Okay? It's a pretty clear connection. Proverbs 27:19, as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Is that sobering to anybody else but me? as in water, face reflects face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Our heart tells the story of who we really are. We allow ourselves to be defined by a lot of things, but our heart is what actually tells the story, the real story. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also, right? Your value system is a reflection of your heart. What do you value? You can trace that back to your heart. Matthew 12:34, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's sobering. Because how many of us have let reckless words fly? And we're like, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. That's not what this says. If it came out of your mouth, it came out of your heart. So there's some heart work to be done then, right? Which the good news is, we can do that heart work. The challenging news is, that's a pretty humbling reality that reveals how much we need the Lord. John 7:38, he who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Our heart is a reflection of our connection with the Lord, which is amazing, right? That's a testimony of our walk with the Lord. That's where it flows from, and that's the evidence that we have. And guys, I'm just going to be really, really honest and raw with y'all right now on a very personal level. Okay, so I've been seeking the Lord for some clarity on some, just trying to find some order in some areas of my life. And it's not sin issues, but it's just like, Lord, I need you to give me strategy. And I felt like he just dropped it to me and was like, it starts with your heart. Order your heart. Find the right pace for your heart. And then everything else will follow. And so I don't know if you've been seeking the Lord for answers, but maybe for some of you, there's an answer there. That you're asking the Lord for some things or for some direction or for some strategy. And he's like, you're working on it out here. Don't you understand it starts here? Order that place. Get that place in the right, in sync with the right thing. And then the rest will follow. And I know this is not like, for you're probably like, well, yeah, don't we know that? I didn't know it all the way until the Lord just told it to me. And so that's where we've got to go back to. That's where the change happens, right? We cannot expect, it's like parenting a child, right? You can modify their exterior behavior. There are ways to do that. You can get a child to behave on the outside, right? But it's just they're learning to comply. Or you can shepherd their heart to want to obey from a place of understanding and from a place of learning to be partnered with Jesus. And that's where it's not compliance, it's a choice, all right? And we are no different. We can expect ourselves to demonstrate certain behaviors, right? Even things like our time with the Lord, like, oh, like, why is it so hard for me to like get up and have a quiet time, right? Why is it, I'm just gonna figure out a new plan. I'm just gonna figure out a new plan. Plans aren't bad, but heart changes are going to make it a whole lot easier to have a plan. So seek the Lord for the heart change too. Seek the Lord for the heart sync that needs to happen. Okay, Lord, why am I having such a hard time with this? What in my heart needs to be addressed, right? This should be our go-to point for just processing with the Lord and for strategy should be our heart. Okay, so I believe as we seek to be that new wineskin, it all starts with the heart and it all comes back to the heart, okay? So we are the vessel, right? That's clear from scripture. We're the vessel of the Holy Spirit. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, right? And that's part of being this wineskin. And so it's important for us to steward ourselves as a vessel and allow ourselves to be renewed and remade by the power of the cross, right? We are told in scripture that we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So we are a vessel to be stewarded. And that's what I'm talking about, this vessel that is just coming into a newness so that it can hold the new wine that the Lord has, right? This is similar to, you know, Jake talks about with deliverance, like we are a house, right? Joey preached a couple weeks ago and talked about, you know, us as a house giving full ownership to the Lord, where he has ownership of every part of us, right? It's the same thing, you know, and we're in this process of sanctification and we need to lean into that process, right? Engage with the Lord in that deep work, and that's what allows our vessel to be purified and strengthened and prepared to be able to then fully receive the new wine with integrity, so that so it's not wasted, and so we're not destroyed, right? And I believe this is a daily thing, and I believe this is unto an outpouring. I think we should be seeking both, right? I believe that daily we should be seeking a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our life, a fresh empowerment, because I believe that's like daily bread. That's the manna. That's we need that, y'all. We cannot handle a day without it. We need it. But then also, there is that fresh empowerment that comes where we're great, equipped in a greater way for the assignment that's unique to us, where we're equipped as a body, right, for the assignment that's unique to us as Threshold Church. And so it's both. Both are important. And I think it's important to say that we need to be careful that we're not self-deceived. You know, we don't want to be deceived in any area, but I think that we underestimate how easily we deceive ourselves, because we don't want to maybe come to terms with the reality of where we're at sometimes. I think it can just be hard. There's this concept of cognitive dissonance. Right? And I use it generally in the context of like maybe an abusive relationship where the person who is being abused is, they don't want to see the abuse for what it is because the implications of it are too painful. Like, how could that person abuse me? Does that mean they don't really love me? I don't want that to be true. I want them to love me, right? It's this avoidance of reality because you don't want to have to deal with the pain of what's real. But we do this with ourselves all the time. You know, as much as it's like nobody knows us quite like we know ourselves, we're real quick to actually have a different perspective of ourselves, I think, than what's real. And it's important for us to understand that, okay? It's because we're avoiding pain. It's because we're avoiding having to deal with deep things, okay? But it's not an excuse, because when we avoid those things, we stall out and we stay stuck. And so, you know, Galatians 6:7, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. Right? So God sees the real deal. Whatever you're sowing, you're going to reap. And so keeping yourself in ignorance just doesn't serve anybody. It just keeps you stalled out. And I don't say that ugly. I say that honest, guys. It's hard to get into those deep places. It hurts. It hurts badly. But it's the only way that we grow. It is the only way that we grow. And so I want to encourage you that where you're like, huh, you don't go there alone. The Lord gets in there with you. He lowers himself to get into the pain and the mess with us, to walk with us. That is an incredible gift that the God of the universe gives to us. Right? And so just know, we can acknowledge like, oh, this feels hard, right? But you don't go there alone. Don't go there alone. That's not a safe place to be alone. You need somebody with you. You need the Holy Spirit to get in there with you. It takes courage and humility to face ourselves honestly. It really does. And this isn't me being down on me or down on us, right? This is just me being honest. I think we need to be honest with ourselves. I think that's a good starting place. Because living in a false reality stalls us out and wastes precious time that we could be growing, that we could be partnering with the Lord, and that we could be breaking through on behalf of, yes, ourselves, but on behalf of our family, on behalf of the generations to follow us, on behalf of the community around us. Guys, nothing we do only affects us. There's a ripple effect, whether it's in the natural or in the spirit. And we need to carry the weight of that responsibility, because when it just affects us, it's easy to go, well, like, I deserve this. I deserve to suffer. Or I deserve to be miserable. Or I deserve whatever. It's a cop out, but we do that. But when we know that we're responsible for our children or for the generations that come behind us, right, or for the community around us, right? That's a different thing, right? You're not so likely to just sit there and stay stuck and wallow. That'll cause you to fight. And I think that's a good thing. And so if you can't fight for your own sake and for the sake of what Jesus did for you on the cross and the inheritance that is yours through the blood of Jesus, then understand that you can fight on behalf of others. Like, if you need that stirring, do it for the people around you. But in order to do that, we have to let ourselves be stripped bare. We have to let everything, like our defenses have to come down. Okay? We have to allow the Lord to access those vulnerable places. That's important. We cannot make this progress if we keep up the walls. And y'all, we have walls because we've built them up for protection. Because we've been hurt, because we've been mistreated, and because we've had trust betrayed, right? But the Lord is a safe place, and he is one that can be trusted. And so I just want to encourage you that in order to make this progress, there are some walls that we have to allow to come down or allow the Lord to scale them, right? We have to be willing to just be stripped bare. You know, for me, the picture, this is maybe TMI, but it is Mother's Day, so I'll share. The picture that I get in this, like, I had my babies all by C-section. That was not my preference, but that was how the story unfolded, and I'm thankful that they came out and were fine. But having a C-section is one of the most vulnerable experiences ever. Probably any surgery, but this is the only one I've ever had. I mean, you are laying on a table, butt naked, underneath all the lights, splayed out in front of everybody in the room, and there's like so many people in the room. And that's your life. Like, and you're awake. You're very well aware of what's going on. And it's just like, wow, is this real? And there's nothing to be done but trust the doctor and the anesthesiologist and the nurses and all the people who are about to cut you in half and pull out your guts and then hopefully put you back together and restore it all, right? And hope that they don't mistreat you while you're in this very vulnerable place, right? So now they all have the visual and you're like, oh, I don't ever want to do that. I do think there's a degree of that reality that should be part of our walk with the Lord. The difference is that there's not always all the people in the room, and he's the surgeon, so he's trustworthy. But I do think it's important to be willing to go into that place where you are like butt naked, stripped bare, and like, Lord, I will trust you to do whatever surgery I need right now. I don't understand how all the things work, but you do, and you know exactly what is needed to bring me into fullness, whether it's to birth something, right, or whether it's to heal and restore. There's surgeries of all kinds, right, and the master surgeon is excellent at all of them, but you have to yield yourself to that table, right, to those lights shining in your eyeballs and all over yourself, because light is the safe place to be. Darkness is not. Okay, so take that visual with you guys and be like, man, if Anna could survive it in the natural, I can survive in the spirit. All right, told you, I'm gonna get real in this place. But sometimes this is really, it's the undoing. You know, we're like, all right, like I'm on this journey with the Lord to become who he called me to be. And that's all well and good, but sometimes the path to becoming is actually you go by way of the undoing, where he just undoes you. And he just, you know, strips you of things. Maybe he prunes some things. Maybe he's refining some things. I mean, I preached the message last year talking about just some of the painful parts of our walk with the Lord that are his love and his kindness and his care for us, but they are painful. Pruning is a blade. Refining involves a fire. Being on the potter's wheel, I don't know if that'd be painful or not, but probably. Right? And so it's understanding that when you are in that surrendered place, that he may take some things, or he may readjust or redefine some things that will make you feel a little bit uncomfortable, because you're like, well, but I thought I was this. And he's like, no, that's not actually a part of you. That you took that on because of your life experience. You took that on because of what you've walked through, but that's not who you are. And then you're like, oh, but I don't know how to live without that, right? That's a vulnerable place to be. That's an uncomfortable place to be. But that's where you want to be. Because who wants to be living in the fullness of who God made you to be, the uniqueness of who he made you to be, and then the fullness of all that he has for you? Anybody else? Yeah. Y'all, we're not stuck. We're not trapped. We're not stranded. We're not defined by our past. We're not defined by our sin. We're not defined by our mistakes. We're defined by the blood of Jesus and the work he did on the cross. That is more than enough. All right? Yes. Amen. That is worth a clap. But we have to understand that we have to cooperate with him in this. He did the work, and now we're in the process of that sanctification, right? We're in that process of being refined and renewed and restored and learning what it means to be a part of the vine. Jean is working on a beautiful picture about abiding, right? This is the journey that we're on, and we want to stay committed to the journey and faithful even in those times where it feels uncomfortable or it feels unfamiliar. I think it's important to remember our tendency. I don't know how much of it's culture and how much of it's just human beings, but we want a quick fix. Lord, can you give me the pill that will fix me? And then I'll just be fixed. The problem with that is if he gives you a quick fix, you don't know how to live like the renewed person. Sometimes you need the journey to teach you how to leave behind the old and how to live in the new, right? Sometimes there is an instantaneous like healing or deliverance or renewing of the mind. The Lord does those works. He does. And they're incredible and they're amazing. But sometimes it's the process of the onion. It's just one layer at a time, you know, and it's like the Israelites. It was like he gave them enough land. They would conquer the enemy in an amount of space for a time and keep it conquered, right? Standing firm in their freedom. And then they would move into the next. It was like they couldn't conquer it all at once because they wouldn't be able to keep it free. They wouldn't be able to keep dominion over it. And sometimes that can be our journey. The Lord is leading us on a journey, and it's step by step. And it's like, okay, we take this step and we get healed and restored and renewed. All right, and then next, right? And that's the beautiful part of we're all in our own journey. We're all in our own pace. It's just we have to be committed to be on the journey and to keep moving and to do our part, which is cooperation with the Lord and just being willing to go to wherever he takes us and being willing to let him speak into the things. We don't get to hold stuff back. Well, we can. He will not violate our will. I believe that. So you can say no. You can say, off limits. I'm hanging on to this corner here. I don't want you to mess with it. But then you'll be limited, right? You're going to be limited. Because the good news is that people don't always have our best in mind, but the Lord does. And so if he is wanting to access a place of pain or darkness in your life, it's because he has freedom for you there. And it may hurt, but he'll be there with you. So I think as we go on this journey, we just understand, okay, like I am going to submit to whatever the Lord says, but we get to do it from a place of being rooted in love. All right, Ephesians 3, 17 through 19, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Being rooted in his love is an anchor for us on the journey. And that's part of moving into that place of being filled with the fullness of God. New wine? That sounds like it could be part of it, right? So can I get real practical with y'all? I like practical application. I think it's really important for us to find the balance of being willing to honestly assess ourselves, but not sinking into a place of over self-analyzing, right? I think everybody is a little bit different. Some people tend towards this, like where they really can just like get internal and they're just like over-analyzing and looking for all the things. And it creates a lot of condemnation and it actually can keep them trapped. I've been there. Bought the t-shirt, sat in that hole, and it's a dark place to be. So don't do that. Okay, so I think we want to avoid that. At the same time, we can't just like float along and just like ignore the things happening around us or ignore the fruit in our life that is speaking of some things that need to be dealt with. Okay, so I think we want to guard ourselves from that like self-righteous place that is looking for faults. And it's almost like so that you can glory in knowing your faults and like putting yourself down in a way that's actually like false humility. God, this thing is so icky, guys. And I just don't go there if you never have. Don't go there. It's ugly. But it is. It's this like I know how bad I am. And like, look how self-aware I am. I'm so self-aware. I can name all my faults and all my areas that I need to grow in, right? But it's almost like so that you can glory in the fact that you can name that. And that's not the Lord. That's the enemy, and it will keep you trapped and bound, okay? Because that breeds condemnation, which keeps you trapped. Condemnation is of the enemy, right? Versus when you're in a place where when the Lord puts his finger on something, you yield to it, okay? And that finger on something brings conviction. And conviction is a gift from the Lord, because with conviction comes the power to change. With conviction comes hope and grace and this just expectation of like, oh, Lord, if you're identifying that in me, then that's next up on the list for freedom, right? And so we can receive the conviction of the Lord with great joy, because it really is his love for us, right? And so that's, we want to be aware of that, that again, some people don't struggle with that, but some people do. I think if you're an internal processor, if you're a deep thinker, if you're somebody who just thinks a lot, you can maybe tend towards that like place of overanalyzing or getting into that place where it can just be a swirl that keeps you stuck. Okay, and so, but then also we have to keep our eyes open and be willing to judge ourselves by the fruit in our life. You know, the Bible talks about the fruit of repentance, right? We don't just claim to have repented, which means to turn away from our sin, right? We don't just claim that. There, if it was true, genuine repentance from our heart, there will be fruit of it in our life. There will be evidence of the change in our life. And that's really important for us to understand that that's true of all of us. So we need to be willing to honestly judge the fruit in our life, right? I know everybody's like, oh, don't judge, don't judge, don't judge. You should judge the fruit in your life. I think we can just biblically get behind that, right? Better for you and the Holy Spirit to judge that fruit than somebody else to have to as another believer saying, hey, like, this is not the fruit of the Lord in your life, right? Which would be a loving thing for them to do, but you don't even have to get to that place if you're willing to honestly judge it yourself with the Lord. Okay? So we need to honestly assess the fruit. And you know, guys, this is part of that self-deception. We're the ones that know what goes on in our mind. We're the one that knows what goes on behind closed doors. We're the ones that know what happens when nobody else can see, right? We know those things. And the good thing about knowing those things is that they tell us what areas need to come before the Lord, right? If we feel comfortable putting on a show and then staying in darkness behind the scenes, then we've got an issue. And our heart is not given over to the Lord, okay? And that's a whole message for another day. Right? But if we're able to go, okay, like we're all in a process, right? We're all growing, we're all developing. And so we're like, oh man, wow. This is how I treat my kids at home. I would never want anybody to see this. Okay, that is bad fruit. Lord, what is happening in my heart that is allowing that fruit to happen? And can you come and get with me in this place? Right? That's the acknowledgement of fruit unto change versus just thinking you're getting away with it because nobody knows. Because the Lord knows. He knows it all. Okay? I think it's important for us to be willing to process with the Lord. Are there lies that we believe? And are there lies that we are living by? And I think this is an important place to be, because sometimes we are living by lies that we have known our whole life. It's been part of our childhood, or it's been part of our upbringing, or it's been part of, you know, the story. It's like they've come in from such an early age, so we don't even know their lies. And that's why it's so important to like go there with like, Lord, are there lies that I'm believing?
Are there lies that I'm believing? Show me those lies so that they can be uprooted and replaced with truth, right? But this is part of this internal thing that we want to bring before the Lord and allow him to renew and to uproot and plant truth into those places so that all of us is that vessel, okay? What are some habits in our life that maybe are destructive habits? We can be really quick to justify a lot of things. We really can, you know, but are there habits in your life, good or bad, right? They might be like a drug habit. Okay, well, everybody would agree that's not a good habit, right? But do you have a habit of procrastination? Do you know that procrastination is a form of self-sabotage? I know, that's how I felt. I was like, oh, Lord, wow, like an arrow to the heart, right? That's what I'm talking about, y'all. This is like letting the Lord get in. And I'm like, I don't know how to live different than this. I've always been like this. And he's like, you're not stuck like this if you'll cooperate with me. Okay? So that's what I'm saying. Like, sometimes it's habits that we're like, oh, I didn't even know that was bad or that was wrong. But once he speaks to you and tells you, or once you're seeing like some yuck fruit and you backtrack to like, what's the hard issue, right? Then we get to cooperate with him unto change in those areas. And I think it's important, like, you know, in that verse, okay, that I read, I don't know if y'all remember, right at the end, it says, and no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. We are like, as we are creatures of habit, like just, I think as human beings, I guess, I don't know. We're creatures of habit and we like the familiar. I know some of us are exhilarated by the new and the unknown, but I think in general, we appreciate the familiar. And we can be hesitant to embrace the new because we don't know what it's going to cost us. We don't know the risk involved. We don't know if we'll like it, all the things, right? And so I think it's important to remember that this pursuit of the new is going to be uncomfortable. It's unfamiliar. It's new. And that's okay. So we just need to be willing to lean into the discomfort and go, all right, that like, comfort zones are where, like, nothing happens, guys. Comfort zones are stagnant places. They're just stagnant places. And the beautiful part of this is that stepping out of your comfort zone is going to look totally different for each one of you, right? So you're not trying to, like, step out of your comfort zone in a way that looks like somebody else. No, you just step out of your comfort zone in the way that the Lord is leading you. And it's just that one step. And that's why I love that there's no comparison. There's no, like, we're not trying to meet any kind of standards besides just our own self with the Lord on the journey, right? But we've got to be willing to move out of that comfort zone. And that's an intentional effort that we take because our default mode will keep us in that comfortable place. And the comfortable place, can I just be really clear? Could be a really, really dark, dark, destructive place. But it's just familiar. So in that regard, we want to stay there because it's familiar. So I think it's important to acknowledge that sometimes our comfort zone is it like logically, we're like, I don't want to stay here. I'm miserable. But then the cost to step out of it feels like too much because now you're in the unfamiliar. At least you knew what to expect in that dark place. At least you knew what to expect in that miserable place, right? This new, unknown, uncomfortable place, I don't know how to function there. Okay, again, that's why it's a good thing you're not going there alone. It's a good thing you're not having to go anywhere alone. So, like the Trinity, we are three parts, body, soul, and spirit. Okay, all of us is connected. We're all intertwined. And it's really a beautiful gift from the Lord. I think it makes us very complex, but it makes us very beautiful because we're like him in that way. All right, and it's important for us to understand. I think we can take this concept and spiritualize it so it affects our spiritual journey and our relationship with the Lord, which it does 100%. But y'all, we're not just spirit. We're soul and we're body. And it's the body, the soul, and the spirit that all make up the vessel that we represent. That houses the Holy Spirit, that will house the new wine, okay? And so I think it's important to be aware of that so that you can give intention to all three areas. And I don't want to overwhelm you. The Lord will lead you on like, okay, this is what we're working on right now, or this is, you know, where we're going here. The Lord's not going to overwhelm you, but I want to bring some understanding because I don't want us to be without excuse, right? I don't want us to be in ignorance in any way. We don't have to. And again, I'm preaching to myself here, so just know that I'm right in the trenches with you, okay? 1 Corinthians 3:16. Do you not know that you are God's temple and that God's Spirit dwells in you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is holy, and you are that temple. Wow. Y'all, that is very sobering. Like, do you hear that? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. What? For God's temple is holy and you are that temple. That is sobering, guys. So we don't get to do anything we want because I'm my own self and I'm the boss of me. No, if you're a believer in Jesus, you're no longer your own. You're the temple of the Lord. And so you better steward that temple well, right? We are responsible to steward that temple well because it's not ours. It's now the temple of the Holy Spirit. Okay, so I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on these because I just want the Lord to speak to you individually on it. But physically, okay, that's part of our body, our physical body. 1 Corinthians 6:19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. So glorify God in your body. Our body matters. It should not be an idol. Okay, I want to be clear on that. That could go in many directions. We can make our body an idol in many, many ways, or we can just, right? It's gotten very confused in our culture that sexualized, right? Our body is all connected to sex, and that's not part of the Lord's heart for it. Okay, so there's a lot about our body that has been perverted, but let's not lose sight of the fact that our body does matter and we are responsible to steward it well. Okay, and that looks many different ways for many different people, and I'm just going to say, seek the Lord on that. What ways are you dishonoring your body that you need to stop? What destructive habits do you have, big or small, that need to stop? Because they are destroying your body, not blessing it. Okay, this could be with your actions. This could be with food. This could be with your words. Right? This could be even like allowing your mind to be renewed, like around body image. This is a real thing for women. I think it relates to men too. Not going to spend a lot of time there, but it's worth taking to the Lord. Right? Do you treat your body the way that you would treat other people's bodies? Maybe that's a weird way to put it, but sometimes we need that like shift of perspective. Because I would eat food that I like wouldn't feed my kids because I'm like, oh, that's unhealthy food. But like I would eat it because like, meh, I don't care. But like, but I wouldn't feed it. You know, that's a double standard. Okay, that's what I'm saying. It's that kind of thing. Like, and this is different for each one of us. We are each in a unique place. So the Lord needs to speak to you on what does it look like for you to steward your body well. And I don't believe this should be a legalistic thing. I think there's going to be different people have different convictions in different areas, and that's okay. But your body matters. Your physical body matters. Okay. The emotional side of things, Hebrews 12:1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Let us lay aside every weight. I feel like another, like a bondage or something that weighs us down, right? That could apply in so many ways. Right? Emotional health. That's like our heart, our mind, right? It's connected with our relationships. And I think that's an area that matters. right? Our emotions are in that place. Do you value your emotions? Do you know how to keep your emotions in the right place where you value them, but you're not being governed by them, right? Because our emotions are good. The Lord gave us emotions and he has emotions, right? They're a critical part of the way that we process life, but also they can be deceptive. They can be misled, which is why they should never be the boss of us, okay? So is that something that you're aware of in your life? I think sometimes we need to understand the power of our words, and I think it relates to this emotional side of us because the power of life and death is in the tongue, and this relates to our words to and about other people 100%, but it also relates to our words to and about ourselves, okay? If you say things in your own head about yourself that you would never stand to have said about somebody else, then you need to get that right, okay? Those words matter because words can bring life or they can bring death. And what you are speaking over yourself is really important. Are you partnering with truth and with life, or are you partnering with death and destruction? Because your soul is gonna experience the implications of that, okay? And so that's another place to just take it to the Lord. And then spiritually, 1 Corinthians 2:12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God, right? We have been given the Holy Spirit so that we can walk this life as believers, continually moving and towards greater truth, greater life, greater wholeness, greater fullness of all the cross paid for on our behalf, so that we can be effective ambassadors of the kingdom here on the earth. That's what it's about. It's about the Lord, not us. It's about the kingdom, right? But we get to benefit in the mix of it, right? Our families get to benefit. We personally get to benefit, right? As we are coming into experiencing the fullness of the cross in greater measure, because Jesus died to pay the price for our sin, right? It was not just for salvation. It was for us to live abundant lives. That doesn't mean easy lives, but that means abundant lives, that we have everything we need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus, our Lord. Everything, guys, that's not part of the things. That's everything. And that's the reality we just keep moving towards. Lord, I feel like there's lack in my life, but I thank you that you have given me everything I need for life and godliness. And so help me to move into that place in greater way. Okay? And so our spiritual life, our spiritual journeys, obviously, those matter, right? And so it's this simultaneous place of giving the Lord a voice into every aspect of our life, okay? This is not just about, you know, you have your quiet time with the Lord and you check that box and then you go live however you want. No, your entire life is under the lordship of Jesus, and so it should reflect that. And if it doesn't, no shame, but don't stay there. Let's move. Let's move forward, okay? And let's just continue to allow him to lead us. So in closing, I just want to encourage you. I felt Ezekiel 11:19 says, "And I will give them one heart, and a new spirit I will put within them. I will remove the heart of stone from their flesh and give them a heart of flesh." I think that when we hear this passage, we think of the heart of stone being like unbelievers, right? And I think that absolutely can apply. But I think that a believer can have a hard heart too. Because I think what happens is there's calluses and there's scar tissue, and there's just the effects of life can cause a bittering, a jading, and a hardening of hearts. And so I think it's important to understand that doesn't just apply to unbelievers. That can apply to us. Lord, do I need you to give me a heart of flesh instead of a heart of stone? Do I need you to give me a new heart? Because again, remember, the heart is the core of the matter, right? And we need to have a heart of flesh that's tender and supple and vulnerable, right? Because it's in that place Here's the thing. If you have a hard heart that you have like allowed to become hard to protect yourself because you can't handle feeling any more pain, you'll be in a numb place where then you won't even be able to feel the Lord's heart towards things. And so you're protecting yourself from the hard things, but you're also completely exempting yourself from an alignment with him and with his heart, because the Lord's heart is not hard. His heart is tender, despite all he sees and knows. That's a miracle that can be, right? We know pain, but man, has he seen a lot of pain, right? And so allowing him to give us this heart of flesh, this tender heart, it's a vulnerable place to be, but that's how we come into sync with him. And that's how we're able to feel his heart for people, for situations, for, you know, we sing like, Lord, break my heart with what breaks yours. Your heart's not going to break if it's hard, you know? And it takes a choice of us cooperating with him and going, Lord, I've been hurt and I'm terrified to allow this place to be tender again. But I want to, so help me. So I don't want to diminish the pain that a lot of people have experienced and what's caused maybe just some of that hardening around your heart for protection. But I want to encourage you that it is worthwhile. It is worthwhile to have a tender heart, because I believe that is like without that, we can't come into that place where we are syncing up with him, where we're really, we've got his heartbeat, we've got his eyes, we've got his ears, you know, we're in that aligned place. And that's where we can really function according to his will. Romans 8:13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. You know, it's that idea of like, am I living by the flesh or am I living by the Spirit? I believe having that tender, supple heart is what allows us to live by the Spirit, because that allows us to come into sync. And that's the direction that we want to move. And so, guys, I felt like to close, we're just to spend some time just in quiet, so we're not going to have any music. If you do want to spread out, the room is fair game anywhere. But I just wanted to make some space to just invite the Lord to speak into your life, because each one of us needs this word in some area, and each one of us needs courage to cooperate with the Lord in some area. And I believe there's a grace for it, okay? There's a grace to become the new wineskin that he is wanting, that he's looking for. You know, it says like the Lord's eyes are roaming to and fro, you know, looking for who will I send? Who will go for me, right? Part of that is just being completely surrendered to him, right? We can go for him. We can do anything on his behalf when we're fully surrendered and we're that vessel that he can just fill up and send out. Right? And again, I feel like this can be momentary, or this is like an ongoing thing. I think it's both and. All right? And so I just want to invite you to just take some time with the Lord and allow him to speak. And it's the beautiful part of the Lord is it's going to be so unique for each person. And if you want to come forward to the altar, if you need to do some work at the altar with the Lord, that is a sacred place as well. So go ahead and feel free to do that. But we're just going to take a little bit of time. I feel like it just needs to be in the quiet. And so I'm just going to just pray and just open up this time. And then y'all just follow the Lord's leading for your own selves, okay? Father, I thank you for this invitation. God, I thank you for the gift of Jesus, Father, that paid the price that we could not pay, that made the way for us to receive the Holy Spirit to help us live a life that we could not live. God, I thank you for the new wine that you have to pour out. And Lord, I just ask right now that you would just come, that you would come and just walk around this room, and that you would speak, that you would minister, and that you would convict, God, so that each one of us could stay on the path that you have for us into that place of being a prepared vessel that is set apart unto you. So Holy Spirit, would you just come right now and have your way in this place? And I just bind every distraction of the enemy. I bind every lie of the enemy, and I bind every spirit of condemnation right now. I command them to be silent. I command them to go from this room. I just take authority over the atmosphere of this room, and I just declare that the enemy has no place here. Let the voice of the enemy be muzzled in Jesus' name. Father, we want to hear from you and from you alone. I thank you for the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, that fills this room and that ministers. Thank you, Lord.
Father, I just thank you for the work that you're doing in this place. And God, I just thank you that you are faithful. You are so faithful. And God, I thank you that we don't do anything alone. God, even our cooperation with you is empowered by your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, I just ask that you would teach us to look to you. God, that we would not try to live in our own strength. God, that we would not try to work and improve or grow or conquer things in our own strength. Father, may we do it at your word. May we do it at your command. May we do it at your empowerment. Teach us to be a people that are fully dependent on you for everything. Father, who are willing to be bold and take action, but it's only under your direction and your empowerment. Lord, I ask that you would help us, God, in those places, God, where we have been violated or been hurt or been betrayed, where trust feels hard. God, I just want to acknowledge that place. And I just thank you that you are trustworthy, God, and that you are drawing us into that place of learning to trust you more. And I just ask that you would help us, Lord. Help us, God, where we are afraid to trust, would you come and meet us in that place and just invite us into that place of trust in you, where we're giving you access to every part of us. God, I just pray for a fresh filling of your Spirit in this moment. Lord, we just look to you and we just ask you to fill us afresh with your Spirit. Fill us afresh, Lord. God, we need you. We need you and we want you. So, Father, we just yield ourselves to you. We ask that you would just continue the work that you have started in this place. Have your way in us, Lord. Have your way in us. Thank you, Lord, that we are sons and daughters of the living God. Thank you, Father, for the cross. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your incredible love for us, Lord. We just receive your love afresh right now. In Jesus' name, amen.
For more information about Threshold Church, visit the website at threshold-church.com.